Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. In our collect, in the prayer we prayed together as a church, we prayed for the church. We prayed that God's continual pity would cleanse and defend His church, that God would preserve the church by His help and by His goodness. It is no coincidence at all that that prayer fits with the lessons from Scripture tonight. In the Old Testament lesson, we find this widow of Zarephath, her son, and Elijah, surviving on just a handful of flour and a small amount of oil for a good long time. That God sustained them in their lack because God appointed for the care of His prophet Elijah and for this widow and her household. In the epistle lesson tonight, we see St. Paul, a continued exhortation to love and to good works, bearing with one another's burdens, he says. And then the tie-in where he says that the ones who are taught the word, that is the hearers in the church, that's you, sharing all good things with the ones who teach, the preachers in the church. St. Paul knew the struggle with the burdens of the people of God in taking care of preachers and then in taking care of each other. As he finally sums up in the last part of that lesson, to do good unto all, but especially, in particular, notably, to those of the household of faith. This past summer, I had the honor of preaching at the installation of two different pastors. In both cases, I was able to exhort and to teach the congregations about supporting their pastors. But it's harder to preach this to you, because there is always the temptation among some, when they hear a preacher teach these kind of things, to see it as self-serving. But tonight I will try to teach you nonetheless, because we are blessed at our Savior to have two preachers. And this teaching, of course, is from Scripture, from Christ. And it will bless every one of you, whether you are members here or if you move on to another church at some point down the road. And of course, it will bless all the preachers of our Savior yet to come here in Cheyenne. Do you see the connection so far? We prayed for God to cleanse, defend, preserve, and help His church. The church is all believers, and in the church, God has ordained, made two distinct vocations, that of hearer and that of preacher. So we prayed for God to help preachers and to help hearers. The Old Testament lesson shows us that God can sustain people through hard times by multiplying little to make sure everyone has enough. It showed that the estimation of the widow that it would run out and they would die was not accurate. The epistle lesson teaches us the bearing of one another's burdens together as one flock of Christ, the Good Shepherd, hearers supporting preachers, and in general, hearers helping fellow hearers. So why is this reminder from the Old Testament lesson, the story of Elijah, necessary? Why does St. Paul exhort the bearing of burdens, the care of preachers, and the care for each other? Why is it necessary for them to do this much? Why all the concern about making sure we trust in God for the care and keeping of everything in this life? Why all the necessary concern for taking care of one another, providing for each other? Because of what Jesus teaches us in our gospel lesson tonight. From Matthew, he says, "You cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and money or mammon." I have said this before, but it needs repeating. Just translating this word money is not good enough. Mammon is the actual word. An idol that Jesus names, which not only includes money, wealth, and so forth, but it includes everything that money can give you. From the reputation, the respect, the prestige, the honor, the influence, the ease of life, the pleasures you can buy, whatever you can ponder that money can get you, that is included in that word, mammon. Jesus names the false god because that mammon is by far the most tempting idol that we have out there, even today. Mammon can captivate a person's devotion and their love and their heart like no other. More than romantic love, more than family, more than the nation one lives in, more than any of it, Mammon is a demanding god. This is why Jesus says you cannot have Mammon and God at the same time. He knows. Since the beginning, he has seen Mammon lead people astray from him. So Jesus talks about one of the fruit of worshiping Mammon. He talks about anxiety, worry in the gospel lesson. You should think of those things, anxiety and worry, like you would think of prayer to the fake god Mammon. That when we worry, we pray to that idol. It is as far as you can get from faithfully praying to our Heavenly Father, give us this day our daily bread, when we worry, or when we're anxious about the matters of this world. Anxiety is prayer to a fake god, Mammon. It reveals a sinful heart, and none of you are exempt. No one hearer is exempt from this idolatrous sin. No one preacher is either. Preachers are never exempt from the temptations to sin, especially in regards to mammon. To such things we all, preachers and hearers alike in Christ's church, can now begin to see why that Old Testament lesson, why the epistle lesson, and why the collect or the prayer of the day were there today. That mammon has received our worship from each and every one of us. And our love of mammon has shown that we are guilty of despising our Lord. The same Lord who has sustained us in our daily lives as well as our congregational life. There is no shortage of sin here in pulpit or in pew. That's why Jesus names mammon. And he gives such a strong teaching with it. That's why Paul brings out some of the harshest language. To say to not care for one another, to not care for your preacher, that is to bear fruit in devotion to mammon, to not trust God to provide for you, so you hold back from those around you, is to mock God, he says. And he says he calls us to sow not to our flesh, with all our worries and rivalries and greed and covetousness, because you'll reap from the flesh corruption, but instead sow to the Spirit by doing good, bearing with one another, loving one another, sharing in what God provides, and reaping eternal life. Jesus reminds us that if God cares for things like birds and grass, how will he care for you? How foolish is your devotion of worry and anxiety to the God of Mammon? That he took care of the widow, her son, Elijah. He took care of the church during Paul's time, preachers and hearers both. He took care of his church indeed in all times, especially during some really worst times. That there was no need for the worship of Mammon. There's no need to worry or be anxious. Our God has shown himself faithful in countless generations of people who have fallen to the worship of Mammon, of the redeemed of God. Redeemed. That's a transaction word. It's a buying word. That you are redeemed of God. You are no longer slaves to the flesh, sowing to the flesh, but you are reborn of God by water and the Spirit. That Christ's blood has purchased you and won you from your sins, from your death, and from the power that the devil had over you. That you're God's own. How much value do you have if Christ shed his blood to claim you as his own, to buy you as his own? It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things, these daily needs, will be met and cared for. Because, of course, if we understand, this is not a to-do list for us so much as it's showing us what God has done for us, that God has made us his own, bringing us under his rule and putting us into his kingdom. As our catechism says, by giving us his Holy Spirit, that by his grace we believe his holy word and lead godly lives according to it, both here in time and there in eternity. That God has done that here and there. That by grace you believe, by grace you lead godly lives. That by this believing, then we find out that, we have found righteousness. And it's not of our own. But it's the righteousness of Christ. That it's yours when you believe in Christ for your salvation, for your forgiveness, for your eternity. That it's yours, that you do have the kingdom and his righteousness. And then from knowing that, what grows from that is that then you believe in him for the today and the tomorrow and the Wednesday for every day's needs. That God grant you this. As he preserves his church, which includes you, that he would preserve it by his help and his goodness. Your worst debts, the idolatries that you pile up against God, your sins, sins like worry and anxiety, those little prayers to the idol Mammon, those debts are paid by Christ. And if Christ has paid off those debts with his holy, precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death, how much more will he do to take care of today's troubles? Or whatever happens tomorrow? Or the next day? If he has so fed and so nourished you that you have enough for eternity, by his word, how much more will he take care of your daily bread? If he has clothed you with the righteousness of Christ, the righteousness you received when you were baptized, the righteousness that covers you and who will present you on the last day as holy and perfect and blameless before God, the Almighty, Will he forget to provide you with clothing and house and home, the things you need in this life? May we repent of our weak faith in Christ and being deceived into the fake worship of a fake God named Mammon. But may Christ be praised. For he has done, as St. Paul said, he has done good unto all. But most especially, he has done good unto the household of faith, unto the church. Now, do you belong to the church? Your baptism screams, shouts out, yes, you most certainly do. That Jesus has you taken care of. Forgiveness, life, salvation, and yes, even daily bread are taken care of in his hands. In the name of Jesus, amen.